Half Whitey Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Danish, they have a strong team, but as he's already said, they are number 12 on the world ranking. That says enough. They have a strong team, physical strong, very tall players. That's a weapon. Yeah, we played against France, and they have, I think, more quality in the players and more creativity. But I think the Danish are maybe more a team.
Hey, Bert. 25-7 on a Thursday morning. That is Aussie coach Bert van Marwijk getting ready for the Socceroos clash with Denmark tonight as part of their group situation in the Russian World Cup. Group C, but game two for them tonight. This World Cup report, thanks to the Tab. Check out the Aussie Futures offer and get more to celebrate when the Aussies score. Hopefully that is willy-nilly tonight against Denmark. Francis Leach is there in Samara getting ready for it. Good morning to you, Frank.
G'day, Harp. How are you?
Going very well, thank you. How are you? Are you a bit toey?
Yeah, it's going to be very, very tough. I mean, the Danes have come into this tournament in massive form. They've kept a clean sheet in their last five and they're unbeaten in their last 16 games. Their last loss was against Montenegro last year. So they come into this tournament very, very difficult to beat. So if anything, probably in better form than the French were. It's going to be a tough ask.
Well, that doesn't fill me with an enormous amount of confidence, Frank. can you,
well, I can't worry about the numbers. Half there, they are what they are. You can't look at the north face and hope it's a flat road.
No, that is true. But can you sell me hope? What have you got for me?
Well, the Socceroos are just so very impressive in the opening game. I mean, they did everything but take advantage of their dominance for long periods in the match. And if they can find a way to score, then you know, that's the key to their success because in midfield they look very comfortable indeed. And That's where they need to be again tomorrow. It's whether they can be the same intensity and concentration for 90 minutes as they did against that opening game against France. Does he make a change? Robbie Cruz is the one player people have been talking about. Does he leave him out and a bit by playing Daniel Arzani from the start? If he does that, he might have that attacking flair and that X factor that was missing in the opening game, but he probably isn't going to get the same sort of defensive cover as he would from an experienced hand like Cruz. So that's going to be the decision that Marwijk has to make at some point, or whether Arzani gets involved earlier than he did in the previous game. Does he go with McLaren? Does he give Jamie McLaren an opportunity to play up front and leave Anthony Boots on the bench? I felt sorry for Naboot in that opening game because he was asked to do a lot of pressing and running without much support. He was very rarely on the ball. That wasn't his fault, just with the nature of the game. He's just trying to close down Hugo Lloris all the time. So he's got a few options to change it up. Will he give Kale an opportunity at some point later in the game and become only the fifth player in the history of the game to score four consecutive World Cup finals again? So there's all those permutations. But, they'll be feeling good about their chances because they were so impressive in the first game.
Frank, it's Operation Stop Christian Eriksen. Now, 70% of the Danish goals he is a part of. Mille Jedinak was able to slow down Paul Pogba in the first game. Is he capable of doing it tonight for us?
Yeah, he was enormous, Jedinak, in that first game. And he's an intimidating presence. I mean, no one wants to be, with their back to goal with Jedinak around. And you're right about Eriksen. He's been involved in 17 goals in his last 14 appearances for Denmark, either scoring or providing assistance. So he's the key to their attacking threat. So, Jedinak will be the man that will try to muscle up with him. He won't be intimidated by playing against Eriksen. I mean, if anything, the championship, the league that Jedinak's been playing in lends itself to that sort of more robust approach, as we saw in the approach against the French. So he obviously is the key to that. But, as I said earlier, if we can just get more firepower and we do have the advantage and when Aaron Moyne in particular was dominating in midfield, that's going to be the key. We need to score against the Danes, something can be conceded in five games. And if we can get the first goal in that game, it changes everything. So, they'll have come with a plan. No doubt they've watched that Montenegro game the last time the Danes lost, and hopefully they've thought of a way to try to at least get behind Kasper Schmeichel.
Is it almost, Frank, and considering the loss in the first round, if you want to get through, you're going to have to find enough points somewhere. Is this almost, you've got to really attack in this game as opposed to sort of sitting back and playing on a counter and seeing what happens? You've actually got to attack to try and score, as you say, to win the game early?
Yeah, you've got to believe you can win. And the only way you can win is by scoring. So they've got to go out there and try and do that. There's no doubt about that. And, you can't go to the game against Peru, I think, to break your win this run at the World Cup. It's been a long time since we won at the World Cup. But you go back to the game against Serbia in Elspet in 2010 for our last win in the World Cup final. So that's what they've got to go and do. I think you will free them up to at least take the game on that way. I don't think they played too defensively against the French at all. Everyone maybe thought that the pragmatic approach that Van Marwijk might have been reminiscent of Tim Verbeek's approach in that sort of infamous game against Germany in Durban, where he started with almost a back six and didn't play a striker. It wasn't that at all. So I think he'll give them license to get forward and have a go, because he believes his team's capable of scoring. You've just got to find the right way to do it.
You talked before about Daniel Lozani, and I always like your perspective meter, Frank. You actually tell us exactly how things are. How good is he? Because he's such a hyped young player, but how good is he as a footballer?
Well, he's one of the few players we've seen in recent times who, from our local competition, can dribble at speed at opponents and get past them. And he's also he plays with that fearlessness of youth, where he's prepared to express himself. He's incredibly gifted on the ball. So, you know, his close control and his technique is superb. He's really, really exciting. He's not quite Kylian Mbappe, that 19-year-old we saw running around with France the other day. He was, you know, like a ballet dancer with football boots. But he's in that mould. He's prepared to, you know, he's not going to be intimidated by big names or older opponents. It's that sort of impetuosity that he will bring that might, you know, be outrageously successful. But it will mean that, you know, he might get exposed in covering up the defence when they counter, and that's the price that you'll pay. So his moment is now. If he gets an opportunity, he's got to make the most of it. And we're all hoping that what we've seen in the A-League, because every time we thought with Melbourne City that, you know, he showed a little bit, then he showed a little bit more week after week, he got better and better and better, that he might at some point have a dip in form. It didn't quite happen. He's enormously confident in his own ability and doesn't seem to be in any way fazed by playing in the World Cup, which is great. And you want to give that sort of player an opportunity to go out there and meet everyone's expectations.
Francis, you touched on Tim Cahill just a little bit earlier. Now, I think we're all thinking, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he seeing time at the moment? Now, what are your thoughts on that? Will he see time tonight? Will it be a half an hour cameo, or, you know, will it be a bit longer than that? What are your expectations for Cahill tonight?
If you look at the way that first game unfolded, there's no way there was a role for Tim Cahill early on. If you put him up front in that role where you are sort of furrowing away on your own, there's very little support, very connection between midfield and the striker in that role in that first 20 minutes or so. He just doesn't have the speed anymore to get in and close down a goalkeeper or work left to right and work as hard and as quickly as, say, in the boot to try to put pressure on and force an error. I've watched him pretty closely when he has that. I know he scored some important goals in Honduras and Syria in those games that qualified us, but he just doesn't have the speed to get to the second ball. So, sure, if it brought the cost of coming in from wide areas, he's the guy you want in the box to be using his incredible aerial power to score goals for you. But once the ball's on the ground again, he just doesn't have the speed of recovery to be effective quite the way he used to be. And that's why he's probably not starting.
Aaron Moy, Trent Sainsbury were awesome in that game against France on Saturday night, Frank, our time. Are they, particularly Aaron Moy through the centre of the park, how important is he going to be tonight against the Danes?
The entire game, he looked as comfortable as any player out there in that first game. He was brilliant. And the longer the game went on, the better he looked. And a bit like getting that, when you think about his journey in the game, it proves that, you know, sometimes hard work pays off. He started playing at St Mirren in the Scottish League, didn't work for Alfred, and came back to Australia, played for the Western Sydney Wanderers, to Melbourne City, and then back to the UK. And so these guys have done the hard yards, but they certainly belong in this class of player. He's absolutely key for Australia. He plays in that deeper holding midfield role, but because of his range of passing, he's the one player that can sort of arrow balls left and right over long distances. He's got a better eye than anyone else in the team. So he's absolutely key. We can't win without him, I don't think, without his passing ability. So all the best stuff goes through him, for mine. So as long as he's fit, and he's had a really long season with Huddersfield. He spoke before the start of the tournament how exhausting it was. He said that each game, particularly for a team, a relegation dogfight, was like a rollercoaster ride. He said winning was like being on drugs, and And, you know, it was just like the exhilaration of every win was so intense because the 3 points kept you up and just as equally devastating when you lost. You felt a bit exhausted coming into camp. But he looked like once he got the feel of being, you know, World Cup finals tournament, he really enjoyed it and was revitalised by it. So we need him at his best again.
Certainly one of the keys, Aaron Mooy. 10 o'clock tonight, local time, is the game between Denmark and Australia. Overnight, Frank, we had three big games, Portugal, Morocco, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, and Iran and Spain. And the superstars of world football took the chocolates. They scored Ronaldo for Portugal, Suarez. For Uruguay, and Diego Costa for Spain. The big dog stepped up last night.
Yeah, all the big names, and Suarez is a remarkable career continues with his 52nd goal for Uruguay, and he's only the first Uruguayan to score three consecutive World Cup finals. So he's a legend for that remarkable country of only a couple of million people that continues to sort of make it to the round 16 of the World Cup, and we know all about them. Diego Costa is such a beast of a player, just a strong athletic striker and just an out-and-out goal animal. Like, he just, nothing, a bit like, you know, like, he just will not let anyone get in the way between him and the six. A bit like Suarez in a way, and Ronaldo's fourth goal of the tournament. It was early, it was a classic Ronaldo header. I hope Morocco were really good for the rest of that game, but just couldn't find a way through. But he's on track to make this World Cup his very own. Four goals from the first two games. And, you know, Portugal, I don't think they were overly impressive for the remainder of that match. They sort of they defended really well, but they didn't create a hell of a lot more. So, but it doesn't really matter because they've got the points and they're moving through at this stage. That's all that counts. But yeah, the big names and the series of 1-0 results, and yeah, the quality always rises to the top in this tournament.
So, Francis, we've gone through obviously the first round of games. Now a couple of teams have played two games. Which side's impressing you most early?
Russia. I mean, no one expected them to because I guess you didn't get a read on their form because they didn't have to go through a World Cup qualification campaign as the host nation. But, you know, they've swept everything aside and clocked up 8 goals in the process so far, and the whole nation is behind them. So they've been extraordinarily successful and surprising, and it's great for the tournament that they are because that's a sign that, that everyone here is focused on the tournament. I thought Belgium's opening game was really, really, really good and really impressive. It might be, I mean, they were so disappointing in 2014. This is supposed to be their moment. Their squad is stacked with great players like Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku and Eden Hazard. And maybe, just maybe, that game against England, which is coming up in their group, will tell whether they are general World Cup contenders. So they're the interesting ones. The real watch, and Mexico too. Mexico's going to have a journey. It's just such a fantastic victory. But that means that the Washington group is one of those teams that are expected to be at the sharp end and have just looked off the pace. Germany in particular, terribly open at the back, and they're really uncharacteristically non-German performance in their opening game. And that was a shock. So it sets the tournament up beautifully that those teams that are surprising, a couple of big names that have a lot to prove in the second round.
Now, the most important question I read with interest yesterday, are the beer supplies running low in Russia?
Well, a lot of people in Kazan thought that was the case. Getting a beer is quite hard work. Even though the Australians are having to serve cricket, drinking everything in sight, there's more double handling at the bar than at the assembly to try to get a beer sometimes. It's quite hard work. You need to fill in forms and show three forms of ID. To get a beer, but you know, people are having a great time, and this city in particular, the Fan Fest is not far from me. They shut down the middle of town, and it's been a lovely night, balmy night, so people have been having a great time. Lots of Australians around and in good spirits.
Well, it's a big night tonight for those Australians. Hopefully they're in good spirits after the 90 minutes. Cheer them home for us, Frank. We appreciate your time. Good luck.
Thanks, Har. Thanks, Rana. Thanks, Whitey. Talk to you soon.
Will do. Francis Leach. And by good luck, I mean good luck getting a beer in preparations for tonight's Socceroos clash with Denmark, 10 p.m. Catch all the action on SBS now up until the finals, up until the second stage, because Optus have handed over the reins of the all the games to SBS, which SBS would be very happy about because they sold them to Optus for a bomb and got them back for nothing.
For free.
It's a great result. So well done. So you can catch all the action on SBS. And you catch all the action at your local tab too and bet live, including the St Albans Hotel, Caulfield Glasshouse, and the Doncaster Inn Hotel, where Whitey will be tab. We love a bet.
Yeah, that's the old Billabong. Remember the Billabong?
Is that the Billabong?
With the unbelievable blue slide inside, the indoor slide.
Yeah, they were the days. Yeah,
very fast slide.
Yeah.
It was a fast slide.
Yes.
That's correct. Yes. It was a fast slide. Nice work.
Slides are good, but they've got to be fast.
Fast, yeah.
You don't want the slow slide.
Well, you do, but you don't want the one that's going to burn you either. Like if you hit the elbow edges on the way down, you don't want the burn. You've got to be careful with those slides. 10-7, the early mail coming up after the break. Now, there's been an incident. We'll talk about it after this.